Q Baraboo, we take you live to the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all. Isn't it nice on such a cold morning, after so many cold mornings, to come into a place as warm and as welcoming as this one and to sit together and to worship together and sing together? This is why we do this, because it just feels good. So welcome. If you're here with us, watching on our YouTube channel, listening on the radio, we're happy to have you along. Any way you can join. Let me give for you, as we begin, first a couple of announcements. Most of the announcements are in the bulletins, so I won't read those again. Our liturgist today is Tammy Young. We do not have a radio sponsor today, but if you would like to sponsor a radio program in the future, just contact the office during the week, the church office. And we can give you a list of available dates to do that. It's a very important part of the ministry of this church to be on that radio every Sunday morning. We have a guest this morning who will be both giving the kids their time and preaching the sermon this morning. Most of you know her, Shirley Kelter, over here. Shirley is certified as a hospital chaplain. She has done hospital and hospice chaplain work. She is a Christian educator and author, editor, all kinds of stuff, author. And so I'm very much looking forward to it. We had a conversation this week. We happened to be talking about the gospel text for this Sunday morning. And she began telling me a story and asked what I thought about it. And I said, you know, that sounds like a sermon to me. And so I asked her if she would take the time this morning to tell us her story, which I think you will find encouraging and enlightening. So that'll be coming up soon. Also, you'll notice if you look at the bulletin, we have made another alteration in how we're going to do things. This is going to be the way it is going forward now. We have moved the communion service early in the worship service so that our Sunday school teachers and kids can take part in the communion service as often as they want to. So watch your bulletin for the change. It'll be coming up in just a little while. And that one will be, like I say, the same thing going forward now. So let me give you this week's version of our welcome to the entire world. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community, and so we welcome and value all people without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race or faith background. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome here. Anyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus is invited to share in every aspect of our life together. So with that, take a deep breath. Settle into where you're sitting. Whatever burdens you brought with you this morning, let them slide away and just breathe in the presence of God.
For God alone, my soul awaits in silence, for my hope is from God.
God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God, our refuge. Our first hymn this morning is number 23 in the New Century Hymnal. There's a wideness in God's mercy. In our morning prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, hold us close when the darkness threatens to overtake us and we are in danger of losing our way. When we forget, as we so often do, who we are and whose we are, when we harm those we love or should love, when we fail to stand with those pushed to the margins, forgive us. Set us on a gracious path to become a people who love the world as you do, who love our neighbors because you do, who live this way in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone, and that is everyone who is in Christ Jesus, has become a new creation altogether. The old is finished and gone. Everything has become new. This is the gospel by which we are forgiven and made whole, and for which we say out loud, thanks be to God. This morning is our communion hymn, Come and Taste. The words will be on the screen.
Gather round with
Holy One, we come to this table hardly knowing how hungry we are. We come in hope and in trust that at this table you will meet us, you will feed us and nourish us and prepare us for the way forward. For this bread and this wine, we give you thanks. Amen. We come to this table every week, and when we are here, we are remembering that night when Jesus sat at table with his friends just before they betrayed him, before his enemies came to arrest him, how in spite of knowing all of that, he took a loaf of bread, and he gave thanks for the bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat, remember me." After supper, he took a cup, and he blessed that and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is my blood of the new covenant. This cup will hold us together forever." We come eating and drinking together in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming as we do what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends and people of God. So come. Everything is now ready. We will have the prayers of the people and the Lord's Prayer following the sermon this morning. This now is time for the kids to come down and for Shirley to come forward.
Sit down. Sorry. I'm not going to sit down or I'll never get up. Stand up, please. And anyone else coming? I want to ask you a question. Do you ever get told to be quiet and listen? When?
When she tells me to.
Oh, sisters, yeah. I have a sister like that, too. Where else do you hear that? Be quiet, listen.
Bedtime.
Pay attention. Yep. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's important? Be quiet, pay attention, listen. It's important in school, and as you get older and older, you're going to find it's really important in life. Not just to listen to what people are telling us, but to learn to listen for what God has to say to us. So now I want you all to turn around and face that wall. You can't look around this way at all. And I want us all to just, I want you to be quiet as mice and pay attention to what you hear. We're going to do that for like half a minute or so. Just be silent, pay attention. What do you hear? What sounds? Okay, turn around. What are some sounds you heard in that quiet?
Yes.
The baby. Oh, now hands are going down. Yes.
The fans.
The fans. Pages kind of rustling. Anything else you heard? Mm-hmm. A pen clicking. Okay. Yeah? Okay, I thought you were going to say something. Okay, turn around again. This is a different little experiment. And this one involves Leo. It's okay. I'm not going to make you do anything too hard. Leo, I've asked several people in our church community to say, "Hi, Leo, this is Mom." And when you hear your mom's voice, I want you to raise your hand. So you can't look up there, okay? Can you just look at the wall? All you have to do is raise your hand when you hear her voice.
Hi, Leo, this is Mom.
Hi.
Hi, Leo, this is your mom.
Good job, Leo. Now you can all turn around again. So not only in being quiet and listening do we learn to hear things that might be important, but we learn to recognize those voices that are important in our life. And of course, your mom's voice is pretty important. I'm glad you've recognized it. And God's voice is very important too, and it can take a lifetime to learn to recognize God's voice. And sometimes it changes. And I won't try to explain all that, but I want you to practice listening. Not in school so much, not when someone tells you to, but on your own. Practice just being quiet for a minute, paying attention to what you hear. And then also pay attention to how might God be speaking to you through other people or through experiences you have. Does that sound like an okay homework assignment? Okay, thank you. I think you're off.
I'm going to turn the reading of the scripture over to Tammy and Shirley, and then I'm going to do what I almost never get to do and sit down.
Our first reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news."
Mark continues, "As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." Dear God, who is love, we ask you to be with us today. Be with me in sharing these words, and be with all the hearers of the words. Help each of us receive just the message we are meant to today. And we ask this prayer with all of our hearts. Amen. Imagine this. You're hard at work day after day, week after week, looking forward to the end of the day for some rest and relaxation, looking forward to the end of the week, kind of wishing our lives away as we so often do with work. No one really notices or appreciates what you do, it feels like. And you're wondering if it will always be like this. Then someone approaches you one day and says this, "I want you to come and work for me. I've seen you. I see what you do, how you do it, what you know. I want you to bring your skills, knowledge base, and talents to my organization. I think you're exactly the person we need to really soar. I want you to soar as well, and I believe you'll be really fulfilled working with my team. I see you, and I want you to come with me." Doesn't that sound nice? I'll admit, I've had this little fantasy from time to time, admittedly also with a little salary boost tucked in, and alternating that with the little fantasy of retirement. And I've been blessed with some pretty great work experiences, some of which Pastor Brad outlined. But there are still days when I just wish someone who gets me would just whisk me off like this into the job of my dreams, without me having to try so hard to find it and get it. Well, that's kind of what happened with Andrew and Simon and John and James in Mark's gospel. Someone saw them, really saw them, and invited them to do a better job. They invited them to a better life. Jesus said, "I see you, and I want you to come with me." Now, there's two important messages in what I read before, this calling of those disciples and the calling itself to be fishers of people. If I talk about both of them, it would be way too long. So I'm going to focus on the call, because as Brad pointed out, that was sort of a story I shared with him, which, by the way, be careful which stories you share with him, or you could find yourself up here. Mark doesn't reveal Jesus' motivation or intent in choosing these four men. Specifically, Mark, in his gospel telling, appears to have the gift of word economy. He shares the good news with us efficiently, emphasizing God's action-oriented, forward-moving mission with a sense almost of urgency. That mission being, go and make disciples. Help those that need it. Foster friendships. Stand firm against evil. A writer in the less is more style, Mark gives us lots of room to ponder and wonder about the backstory, what lies in between his words. I imagine that Jesus had been observing these guys for some time and saw in them the makings of solid, albeit not perfect, disciples. He saw their raw talent, their wealth of experience, their passion, their knowledge, their rough edges. He saw their hearts, don't you think? And for them to just drop their work, their successful businesses and families to follow Jesus, I have to think that they'd been watching and listening to him as well. Can you imagine what was it in Jesus' voice and his eyes, his smile, his words, his movements? What was it that touched them deeply and powerfully enough to cause them to leave everything, all their security and safety, and follow Jesus into unknown waters? It seemed like they did so without hesitation. Jesus said to Andrew, Simon, John, and James, "Come follow me." He whisked them right off their feet and out of their normal lives into a world beyond anything they could or would ever dream up. As to why Jesus chose fishermen, again, Mark doesn't really say a peep about this, nor do many of those who study and teach scripture. I found it was almost passed over in biblical commentaries. Maybe because it's rather obvious why fishermen would make good disciples and good fishers of people. Fishermen and women are comfortable with being in silence for long periods of time. They are intelligent, knowledgeable about fish and boats and tools and season and weather patterns that affect their fishing. They work with nature. They possess a strong sense of hope and trust and patience, not just in the immediate hours that they're in their boats, but for the long haul. They understand that not catching many fish one day isn't a disaster. For the next day or week, they could bring in an enormous catch to make up for it. They are physically strong, including having a strong stomach to endure rocky waters. They're not afraid of hard work or disappointment. They are determined to keep at it, knowing the fish will come to them, if not immediately, eventually. These are incredibly valuable attributes to bring to the mission Jesus had in mind, to catch new followers, to spread the good news, to help those in need. And they can be applied to us and our lives. If we can be comfortable with silence, we can be more likely to hear God's voice. The more we learn, the more effective we'll be. Patience, hope, and trust are critical tools for doing God's work. We can't be afraid of hard work or disappointment or failure. Determination and steadfastness are key, as is an appreciation for the long arc of what discipleship looks like. Besides all this, and perhaps more important than any of this, is what's in the hearts of these fishermen and in our hearts. All these qualities described are great, but Jesus sees right past them with a piercing, loving view into our hearts to choose us and call us. All of us. This call is for all of us. Whatever we do, great or small, we're invited to this mission of Jesus. We know very well from our hearing and reading of Scripture that God chooses the most ordinary people to fulfill his extraordinary work. All of us ordinary people are on the Fisher of People candidate list. God's mission is our mission, which can seem overwhelming and scary, but maybe that's because we imagine it to be so big. But if we can focus on one step at a time, saying yes to one small invitation at a time, we can get the knack of this journey of discipleship. It's a call that is lifelong, evolving over time, fitting us better and better as we get to know ourselves and God better and give ourselves to God's work. Hearing God's call requires deep and constant listening, an openness to risk, and fearlessness. I feel I've been blessed with good hearing because I've heard this call, this lure, and this invitation of God over and over in my life. For as long as I can remember, back to being a toddler, my parents said words to me quite similar to the words Jesus heard at his baptism. Jesus heard, "You are my beloved." And I heard, "We love you." Jesus heard, "On whom I'm well pleased. I am well pleased with you." And my parents often said, "We are so proud of you." My call began in my family with my parents teaching us the primacy of helping others, showing up, being honest and hardworking. If our family had a motto, it would be service, integrity, and love. And I think we all try to hold on to that today. I attended Catholic schools and neither rejected nor wholeheartedly embraced my Catholic faith. I had no trouble with God, mind you. And I was aware that integrating service, integrity, and love into my life was a faith-based endeavor. And I tried to do that. In my young adult years, specifically in college, my spiritual life deepened and widened and became genuinely personal and meaningful to me. The friendships and campus ministry activities I engaged in enriched me and actually changed the trajectory of my life powerfully. I found myself saying to God, "Okay, I'm yours. I am all yours. Here's my life. Show me what you want me to do." Those words that I spoke directly to God on one reflective New Year's Eve became a vow. I wasn't interested in taking vows as a religious sister or nun. I couldn't become a priest, and I was ambivalent about getting married or becoming a parent. But I knew with all my being that I wanted to be part of this enterprise of being a worker for God. This vow has never lost its hold in my life, and it opened a world up to me that I never imagined possible. I should add, this occurred after a pretty rough semester of classes. I was working on a major in natural sciences with an emphasis in nuclear medicine technology. From the time I was about 3 years old, I'd wanted to be a nurse. And then in high school, that kind of switched over to physical therapy. In college, my advisor nudged me in the direction of a hot, no pun intended, and new field, nuclear medicine technology. But while I thrived in math and science throughout high school, in college I struggled intensely. I stuck with it, though, because I was sure that healthcare was where I was meant to be. It wasn't until I was taking a course in nuclear physics that I acutely and painfully realized that I was on the wrong path. This class in nuclear physics, it broke me. And with just a year to salvage my coursework into a graduatable degree, I turned to God. And with all the passion that had been growing in me over a lifetime, but especially during those college years, I let go of my dreams and let God take the driver's seat. And what a ride it has been. This call led to 40 plus years working in ministry with no sensible path or trajectory. For me, it's been more like standing in the middle of a wonderful big amusement park like Great America. I'd see a ride or a job and say, that looked fascinating or thrilling or fun, and I'd say, "That one. I think I'll try that one. What do I have to do? Do I have to go back to school? Do I have to learn something, go through a training program?" And one by one, I kept trying those rides until I got to do, and I won't go through them because Pastor Brad did a nice job of that and cut 30 seconds off of my homily, my sermon. I've come to associate call with adventure and possibility and anticipation and surprise and hope and joy. Call is very exciting to me, even though there are certainly times when it can be kind of boring. Mostly it's pretty exciting if I keep my heart open. Interestingly, since I spent the last 17 years as a chaplain in healthcare and hospice settings, I came back full circle to my earliest call to work in healthcare. I always wanted simply to help people. And lucky for all of us, I found my way to the bedside as a listener and supporter during some of life's most difficult experiences, rather than as someone who is injecting radioisotopes into you. Along my path, I acquired the education and training I needed. I said yes to invitations placed before me, even at times when I wanted to say no, or no might have been a better response. And sometimes I said no and later regretted that I hadn't said yes. I have failed along the way, and I keep trying to get back up. I'm learning to become invigorated by, or at least comfortable with, embracing risk. Just this morning, I read this quote by Franciscan priest Richard Rohr. Without a certain ability to let go, to trust, to allow, we won't get to any new place. If we stay with order too long and we're not resilient enough to allow a certain degree of disorder, we don't get smarter, we just get rigid. In Sauk Prairie High School, middle school, I think, music department, risk is a central theme in their curriculum, as is focusing on the journey more than the destination. So fear might and will creep in when we choose to follow our call. That's normal, but it's not necessary. What are we afraid of? Well, failure, for one thing. But we don't need to fear failure because it is often one of our best teachers. I say that as an experienced failer. When I was younger and more cautious, I'd ask God for some sign before making a big decision, so I wouldn't make the wrong decision and fail. And at some point, God's small, still voice within me told me to knock it off. It's not God's job to make my decisions. It's my job. And God can help me, but it's my job to learn and discern and then jump. If I fail, if I fall, God is there to catch me. Whether we choose to take this path or that path doesn't matter as much as making the best choices we can with what we know and embracing that path with hope and love and faith. If it's not the right path, we can change direction, even if that change involves loss and pain. God never leaves our side. We truly do not need to be afraid. That goes for the big risks and the very small daily ones, like showing kindness to a stranger or extending kindness to an enemy. Back in the early part of this century, which is a strange phrase, I noticed these signs in front of the United Church of Christ churches. God is still speaking. Do you remember those? God is still speaking. I was so taken by that. It captured my heart then, and it still does now. I apply it to our church, our world, and also I take it very personally. Right here and now, I can sense God's voice picking up volume and intensity within me and around me. I don't know what God is up to, but I can feel the movement. I've been here before. I recognize the features of call. I'm wondering, I'm curious. I'm trying to remain open to what God might have in mind for me. I'm not afraid, but I think that there could be some loss and pain involved in saying yes, while possibly letting go of something that's been so precious to me. For grief can be another element of call. I'm listening for wisdom, yearning for comfort and assurance, and I encourage you to join me in this kind of listening as well. And in doing so, let us cling to these powerful words from Psalm 46. My favorite words: be still and know that I am God.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you so much.
So here are two questions for you this morning as we join our prayer time together. Where have you heard the still speaking God speak in the last week or so? And where have you heard the still speaking God speak to you? Has there been anything like a calling to you to be or to do or to go or to see or to hear or to sit? You may not have answers to those questions, but I'm throwing them out. Along with who and what are we praying for this morning? So take your pick of all of those. Can we have somebody handle the mic? Tammy? Over here. Marcy. It's not on. Is it on now? Okay.
Yesterday, a small group of us from church joined the Sauk Prairie Food Pantry in distributing food. And I just want to give kudos to that organization. They are a well-oiled machine, and it's an amazing experience. We hadn't been there in a couple years to help with that. And we served about 21 families, I believe, and certainly see the face of God in that group and what they're doing for our community and providing such a need for people.
You know, there's a story in the Gospels where Jesus has been teaching people for an extended time, and the disciples come to him and say, you got to send these people home because they're hungry. They've been here for a long time. And Jesus says to them, well, feed them. You know, and that was a call to them. The food pantry only works because people hear the call of God to come and to feed each other. Tamara.
I saw the face of God last week. For Bible study, I got in my car and it wouldn't move. And I've never had that issue before, and I got a little panicky. And fortunately, there were a couple of people here still left after church that, you know, talked me down and talked me through it and gave me a ride. So big blessings to my guardian angels, Scott and Christy.
Thank you, Tamara. Just join in prayer together, and then we'll conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Holy One, you have placed us in this beautiful world. You have promised to accompany us on each step of our journey through this life. You have surrounded us with friends and family. You have given us possibilities to take and to use this life to be a benefit to the people that you love, to be your word and your voice and your hands and your feet. And we are grateful for this calling, for this gift that you have given to us. Our world is so much in need of what you have given to us. There is so much hunger and anger and war and violence, so much destruction of the world that you have made. God, the need is way, way beyond our talent or skill or strength. And so we pray that always we and this world will be guided and influenced and blessed by the presence of your Spirit, who gives wisdom and who gives courage. And so, God, we ask for your voice to speak to us. We ask for your ears to hear us as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For our call to the offering for this morning, I want to reread part of the Psalm 62 that we had as part of the call to worship. This is Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. We will receive our morning offering at this time. In our gratitude prayer. Holy One, we bring what we have and who we are and offer it all in love for the world you have created and the people you have redeemed. In great gratitude, we give our thanks. Amen. Be seated, please. The closing hymn this morning is one that will likely be new to almost all of you, but it is a delightful piece. It's called The Summons, written by a man named John Bell, and comes to us from the Iona community in Scotland. And I think you will like this. It's easy to sing. If you're able, would you please stand as we sing together?
And I will play it through one time before we sing. Thank you.
now hear this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is yours now and always, always will be. Go in that assurance and peace. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service live from the First United Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo.